Welcome to Wild and Crazy Night!
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Hogan for the win.
We're going to consistently put players in position to succeed. Most important piece is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
From CHGO, it's Adam Hogan.
I don't think that this is a full rebuild, but you definitely have to retool your roster.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
Hey, what's up, Flus?
And we're going to have measurable ways for standards of performance every single rep, every single game.
Anyway, who cares?
Now, here they are. The Adams.
What's Hogan up? Johns. Welcome in, Hogue and Johns with you as we put a bow on the Bears' loss to the Giants. Turn the page to week five and a pretty decent Minnesota Vikings team. What's up, Johnsy?
I don't know about you, Mr. Hogue, but I managed to accomplish something special, I think, with my coverage of the Giants game. I was not only too soft on Justin Fields, but too hard on Justin Fields for what I was saying about them. So, angering both sides.
You know what I've learned over the years? When you get that type of response, it means you did it right.
Yes. Right down the middle, fair and balanced, or something like that.
I think he sucks. No, I'm just kidding. That's just... No.
That roller coaster you're riding, man. Going down that dip again, huh?
No. I'm actually... this would be like one of those... like little bumps in the roller coaster, like that you just go over for a second, those super fun ones. I don't know if this is super fun, but anyway, welcome in. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. You can read all of Johnsy's coverage. It'll either make you very, very angry or very, very happy at theathletic.com/HoganJohns. I am at allchgo.com, and we'll have the Bears Things newsletter drop tomorrow morning. If you want to sign up for that, make sure you have a membership at allchgo.com. We'll get to our likes and dislikes from this game, some cool stats that we have. I have to ask Johnsy about something he tweeted yesterday because it made me very, 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 very confused. I'm eager to get to our voicemails, though. I think our listeners are eager to hear them too, because I was getting tweets about them post game and how people couldn't wait to hear. I think it's the only thing people look forward to after the Bears lose.
You know what? They're going to be good when it fills up fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here they are, the voicemails from the Bears' loss to the New York Giants.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Hogan Johns voicemail. The Hogan Johns voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game.
Go Bears!
Hoggy Cat, Johnsy Pitt, Bob Dabrowski calling in here from the Meadowlands. Boys, we got the second city versus America's landfill, a.k.a. New York City. You know what that we call that? Boys, that's a blood war. Blood war, Bears versus Giants. Justin Fields going to throw for a staggering 170 yards plus amazing football. Let's go, Chicago Bears. I'll check in later. Bears 51 for Dick Butkus to 0. Let's go, Bears, Chicago Bears Super Bowl.
What the hell, Getsy? Third and three, just outside the 5-yard line, and you decide to run it up the middle, fake the handoff, roll Justin Fields out to the right or the left, have a tie down, break out, and run parallel with the freaking goal line for a touchdown. Getsy, you freaking moron!
Hey guys, I'm actually in the other room from the TV, just listening to the announcers. Sounds like Justin Fields is playing really well. They say we're opening up the passing game, and he's really looking sharp. Oh wait, oh that's not at all what's happening. And he's missing throws and not doing solid play action. I'm confused because what the announcers are saying is not at all what's happening on the field. This is horrible. What are we doing? Fields needs to get better right away. Oh my goodness.
Baby steps are annoying because they're only babies. Right. Fields is developing. He's better than last game, but we got to win this one, boys. Bear down.
Hogue and John, tough watching this game. So the first half, looks like they're trying to get Justin Fields hurt. Are you sure we signed Badgley and not Daniel Jones to the team? But looks like I'm going to have time here during the halftime break to have a pulled pork sandwich and a brewski. So keep the faith and bear down. Second half adjustments. Here we go.
Eddie. Jackson with the interception. Jay from Connecticut. Now, offense. Can we just, like, maybe score a touchdown today? That'd be great. Thanks.
Well, it's another Sunday tradition. Calling in on the voicemail line to bitch about a team. That just sucks. Bayless Jones Jr. loses the ball in a spot that you just can never lose the ball. I mean, not that you can never lose the ball, but I'm looking in, suing the Chicago Bears. This team has taken off more years of my life than I could frankly care to admit. The fact that we have lost to the New York Giants in a game where we don't even score a touchdown, Matt Nagy was not this bad. That's all I'll say.
Man, it's just so depressing to watch the offense play right now, man. Like, there is nothing to show that there's been any sort of improvement from last year to last regime. It's just bad. It's just bad. At least Brisker's good, though.
I want to like this team so much. I really do. But we still stink. And it looks like it's not going to get any better. We can't beat the Giants. They're not a good team. I don't think we're going to be able to beat that many teams in the league. It is what it is. We knew this team was going to stink, but God, man, it's still depressing.
2-2, baby, the Chicago Bears. And just in absolutely disgusting fashion, too. I mean, we just let Daniel Jones run the ball right down our throat along with Saquon Barkley. Our defense finally makes the adjustments, but way too late. And the offense, well, you all know how the offense looks. I mean, you just have to go back and watch week 1, 2, 3, maybe weeks 1 through 17 of last year as well. I mean, shit. I don't really know if it gets any different.
I guess the offense sucked. Like, that's almost like a foregone conclusion at this point. But how do you get zero sacks against this makeshift line? They have one proven offensive weapon coming in the game. They run for almost as many yards as we had against the Texans. And they literally just do not understand gap discipline. This is the first game all year where we had literally no adjustments.
Hey, Bears fans, B-Man here. We got to get Justin some help. Let's get a dub next week. Bear down.
Augie Gat, John Z. Babe, Bob Dabrowski here, calling in from America's trash can. Bears just lost an extremely, extremely disappointing game. It's disappointing that they kick a field goal 3 times from inside their own 20. It's disappointing that they punt down 8 with 3 minutes to go. It's disappointing that they continue to play football in a time machine. But it is most disappointing that they did not score a touchdown on that lateral play and have the opportunity to play it safe and kick an extra point. Well, at least Velus Jones is healthy.
Oh, at least we have Bob, right?
You know? I feel bad for B-Man.
B-Man's staying positive, man.
No, he sounded a little sad there.
Yeah, but he was optimistic. He's like, let's just help Justin and, you know, get one next week.
Oh, I feel bad for B-Man.
Did you understand what Bob said there at the end? Score a touchdown, then just kick the extra point?
Well, the close loss.
Right. You know, just to be completely conservative, when you need a two-point conversion, just kick the extra point. Take the loss.
Nah.
Those were more depressing than angry. Like, have we already reached that stage?
I think so. When your quarterback is scrambling for his dear life, and when he does have protection, he's missing throws, it's all a problem.
Also, there was one voicemail in there I could not understand a single word. I don't know what was going on with that phone, but could not understand a single word. All right, well, you know, at least we have the voicemails. And Bob. Doesn't this just feel like a season that might get bad?
Yes. They lost to the Giants. I know the Giants are 3-1, but I think we can all agree they are vastly overachieving.
Yes. That team's not that good. They didn't even have a quarterback in the fourth quarter, basically.
They didn't at all. They ran the Wildcat with one of the best players in the game, but still without a quarterback.
It was honestly disturbing going back and watching that defensive film. How even late in the game, the eye discipline was so bad. Like, just having no clue where the football was. And there's only... I think the coaches were slow to adjust, but at some point the coaches can't do anything if the players are just not going to figure it out. Like, you have to take some ownership as a player to figure it out and fix your eyes. It was just, that was like, honestly, really, it's great that they didn't allow a touchdown in the second half, but I'm attributing that to them playing the Giants, who didn't have a quarterback in the fourth quarter. I mean, it wasn't good.
Well, that's a trend of four games in a row, but the tackling was subpar again. The Giants seemed extremely committed to grounding out that victory, too, by the end of it. Is that a beer, or is that the new water sponsor? That is the new water sponsor.
They want you to think it is beer. No, it's just water in a can.
I would love for you to bring that to Hallis Hall in the media room and just start drinking it in the front row.
Like during a press conference?
Yes. Yes.
Maybe I could do it during the what's become the pop bit.
Yeah, forget the pop bit. Can we stop with that? Enough with the pop bit with Luke Getsy. Can we do
I'm not going to name names, but that's pretty much two people in the media room that find it funny that keep doing it every week.
Oh, can we do the liquid death bit?
Yeah, I think this is a better bit. You know, pretend that you're drinking beer.
Yes.
And then it's really just water. This is good, by the way. In a can, it's just colder. It feels colder. Just like beer in a can.
Like a beer.
Yeah. So, and the reason why it's called Liquid Death, by the way, you've heard our ads, it's because they're trying to kill plastic. Because it's not as recyclable as you think it is. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You tweeted a graphic from ESPN yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It said, looked up ESPN's pass block win rates. Pass block win rate stats heading into week four. And it has Sam Mustipher at the top with 100%.
Yes, it did. Do you want to know where he is right now on that list right now?
Well, yeah, that's why I want to clarify. So this did not include the Giants game.
Yes, heading into week four, everybody. Keywords, heading into week four.
Okay.
Not including week four, but heading into the week four slate of games. That's what it means.
All right.
Do you want to know where he is on that list right now?
Yes.
He's not on it.
Okay.
So we went from number one to out of the top 10.
What's the percentage now?
I don't have the full percentages. You'll have to ask Courtney Cronin for that.
Oh, because he's not on the graphic anymore?
He's not on the graphic anymore.
Yeah.
He was not a good game. Out of the graphic. Yes.
Was not a good game for 67.
He allowed, according to True Media, which logs all the Pro Football Focus data, and whatever, criticize it if you want, we do all the time, but I think the eye test matches the stats here. So heading into, that means before week four, Sam Mustipher had allowed two pressures and one hurry and one hit. How they break up pressures and hurries, that's on Pro Football Focus. But against the Giants, he allowed one sack, four pressures, four hurries, and one QB hit. By far his worst performance of the year. By far.
I found it interesting that Matt Eberflus came out so quickly yesterday. I think it was in his opening statement and was like, and this is the offensive line we're going to go with going forward. Right after talking about Cody Whitehair being out. Here's a guy who won't tell us anything about who's ever playing. And he's just like, this is our offensive line. I'm wondering if he's lying.
Okay.
On purpose, just to throw off the Vikings.
Where would you make the change? Because Alex Leatherwood is not ready, everybody. He's still out. We have not seen him practice for a long time because of mono, I believe.
Yeah.
So your option here is what?
Schofield.
Michael Schofield at left guard and Lucas Patrick at center.
Which I'm not saying that's any better, but because Schofield really wasn't all that impressive.
He gave up one bad sack in the preseason to Chris Jones.
Yeah.
One of the best defensive players in the league.
But I don't think the Bears made that quick switch just based on that.
Well, I think it was a part of it. It was awful. Well,
sure. Well, they got to figure out a way to... Here's the thing. I know a lot of Bears fans like to pick on Sam Mosfer. He is better than what we saw Sunday. But... I don't think Lucas Patrick's been that good either.
No, he's not. I'm going to say something in defense of Sam Mosfer for just for a little bit. Which is kind of outrageous. I get it at this point. But the guy wasn't expected to be your starting center this year. He wasn't. He was supposed to be like your inside rotational backup guy. Because of Lucas Patrick's hand injury, he's thrown in the center, and he does better than expected for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants game was awful. Awful for him. He'll tell you that. But just given the context of where he's supposed to be heading into this season, I think you take the first three games as a positive. Big step back in the fourth, but in the general context of things, not too bad from Sam Mustafer.
I kind of had to catch myself yesterday of being too critical of Justin Fields for sometimes running into pressure when he could have just stayed in the pocket.
He did that again, yes.
Because, and there's two specific plays I can remember where he basically had all day if he just stays right there. But that's easy for me to say when basically the rest of the game, the Bears offensive line keeps continually allowing interior pressure. So that's hard to blame him for like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, okay, I got to go. When really he didn't have to on those couple plays, but when the whole game you're getting guys coming up the middle in your face, and that's like the worst place to get pressure is interior pressure, then, you know, it's hard for me to be too critical on that.
You posed that question to Matt Eberflus yesterday, and I thought he had an interesting response. I'm going to read it. And I quote, this is Matt Eberflus. I think it's just pocket presence as he gets more experience. He did a nice job of riding the pocket a couple of times, staying in there and delivering the ball for sure. We talked about those plays. That's just more experience. More experience on the job, and he's going to get better at it. You think he gave his offensive line kind of a free pass there?
Well, I thought there was a couple moments in that press conference yesterday where Matt Eberflus was kind of saying, yo, we get it that it's not perfect. Figure it out, quarterback.
The four vertical play over the middle to Darnell Mooney?
Yeah. Which kind of gets me to the things we like and don't like. All right, the thing I liked about what Matt Eberflus had to say about that play, and this is the one that's been on Twitter. I posted the video last night too, the All 22 version of it, where Justin Fields gets a first down on 3rd and 10 with his legs. He manages to make a play, but you could see it even on the TV copy that Darnell Mooney came open up the seam and probably could have been a touchdown. Now, what was interesting is both Darnell Mooney and Matt Eberflus said yesterday that Mooney kind of ran the wrong route, that he was supposed to bend it across the formation, not go straight vertical. But Eberflus also acknowledged that Justin had time to stay in the pocket, ride up in the pocket, and get his eyes downfield to Mooney. So that's what I was going to say I like. Not every play in the NFL is going to be perfect. In fact, most plays are not going to be perfect. Something's going to break down somewhere. And the good quarterbacks are able to adjust and still turn something out of it. Okay? So I liked that Matt Eberflus said that. It was basically like, look, man, figure it out. Your guy's not going to run the right route every time. You had time. Get him the ball.
Yeah.
What I didn't like, though, was what he also said, Matt Eberflus. Fields decided to take it because we were telling him to take the check down or run when they're in that defense.
Two eye safeties.
So you're coaching him to not have his eyes downfield, is what you're saying. If they're in that defense, look at the check down or run. So it's hard, again, it's hard for me to get too upset with Justin when he admits in the same answer that they're coaching him not to have his eyes downfield on that play.
The early part of Matt Eberflus's answer on that felt like what Matt Nagy once said about Mitch Trubisky, where you have to adjust your throw, not just throwing to places, which they want quarterbacks to do, but adjust to what you're seeing, like on the fly. Remember that? It yes. became a criticism from Nagy of where Trubisky was placing the ball, where things happen within the play, within the coverage, that change where you should go with things, right? Like kind of on the fly. Patrick Mahomes is exceptional at doing this, right? Just kind of being like a superstar in backyard football. But doing that within the play and where your eyes are supposed to go. That's what that felt like. I'll give you something I liked. I like that Darnell Mooney continues to be detailed with his answers to provide us context of why things don't work.
Yes.
Like that first and 10 play from the 12, where he gave us an extremely detailed answer about how he did the wrong thing. How he chipped when he wasn't supposed to chip. How he was supposed to be one of the first reads for Justin Fields on that play, and that play turned out to be a sack on Justin Fields. Now, I would say, and I wrote this in my takeaways, that one mistake turned into another mistake when Justin Fields didn't let the ball out to the flat to Cole Kmet, who was open. May not be a touchdown, but I'll take 5 or 6 yards over a 2-yard loss. I think everybody would. Another sack, yeah. Another hit on your quarterback. Have to get the ball out. I appreciate that from Darnell Mooney. What I don't like, and correct me if you think I'm going somewhere with this that I shouldn't. Like Darnell Mooney and Justin Fields both seem to take, I don't want to say a shot, maybe unnecessary criticism of Eddie Jackson's decision to make the interception. Like they both said that like Eddie made the interception and they got pinned down there afterwards, and that became a tough set of circumstances for him afterwards, and that's why the offense didn't work.
Yeah.
That was first down.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
It's not like it's some third down heave down the field. That was, let me get this right. Where was that interception?
Where they were at, like, yeah, what was the yard line that play was run? It was like a 60-something yard punt, essentially, but...
So the Bears take over on their 4. I hear what they're saying. I understand it. But in Jackson's defense, it's 1st and 10 from the Giants 35. They take a shot. He goes up and gets it. He's probably thinking he's got some space if he could break that tackle. Now he doesn't break that tackle. He gets tackled at the 4. They're backed up. But don't tell like one of your best players this season not to go make a play. And again, they weren't doing that, but Fields mentioned it after the game, and Darnell Mooney brought it up on Monday as well, and I just thought that was curious. We'll call it curious criticism of a big play by one of your better defenders this season.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, really, unless it's 4th down, like you tell him to make the interception. If it's 4th down, sure, knock it down. Right, then you're losing a ton of field position. But yeah, I don't know. That one's...
And as someone who's covered Eddie Jackson's full career, if he breaks that tackle, which Eddie Jackson surely is thinking he can do, he is dynamic with that ball in his hands. Yeah. We've seen what he can do. You know he's thinking about it too. Jaquan Brisker loved that play, by the way. He would tell you that not many safeties can make that play. And I happen to agree with him.
That was a great interception. And Eddie Jackson.
I mean, the amount of yards that he covered to track that ball.
Eddie Jackson had another good game, by the way.
Yeah. I'll mark that down as a like. Like, I liked Eddie Jackson's performance, and I like Michael Badgley's performance, stepping in, making four field goals, getting a nice thank you and a tweet from Ryan Poles as well for his effort.
And a goodbye card, too. Thanks for your service. Goodbye.
Yeah. The tweet from Ryan Poles. Yeah.
Yeah. So he'll, I don't know, he'll probably get another opportunity with some other team at some point this season, you'd think. After that performance, I would think whoever needs a kicker next will give him a call. But it is very Bears, I'm sorry to say, to have an emergency kicker come in, score all of your points, and then be sent packing up.
Is that your second dislike?
Actually, I think I like that.
The very Bears situation?
I'm just entertained by it. That is a Bears thing that happens.
My second dislike is the... I'm going to put this... So I'll be doing the All 22 film review for our Bears coverage this week, and we're getting to that Mooney play, the deep shot, scramble. And the... Like, your middle linebacker, Nicholas Morrow, who's been all right. I mentioned this on Monday, not on Sunday. Like, he's got to make that tackle on Saquon Barkley. But he's got to make more tackles before the third quarter.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I haven't been that impressed.
No?
Nope.
He had that great screen breakup against the Texans.
This has been this was a bad game.
It was. For him.
It was not good. Overall, let's see here. He's been fine. He actually had two pretty decent games. Before this week, he had been okay. He had been grading out as a starter for me. I didn't think he played that well against the Packers either. But it was fine in the two wins against the 49ers and Texans. But this was a bad game for him, in my opinion.
I know there wasn't many opportunities. And as you mentioned, there seemed to be an overcommitment to stopping Saquon Barkley. Going back to your eyes comment. But the pass rush, or lack thereof, from the Bears' defensive line, it's a problem.
Yes.
It's a problem. I'm going through. This is the stat sheet, everybody, from, if you're watching in YouTube, it's the longer version of the game.
I want to point out, though, that I think Justin Jones has been playing okay.
Yes. Yes.
I think he's been pretty solid. The problem is he's not getting much help.
He had two quarterback hits, and let's go back to the ESPN pass block win rate stuff. And amongst and run stops, he's ranked 9th amongst defensive tackles. And where is he here? Let's see if I can find it. No, he was better ranked with his pass rush, I think, going into this game.
There wasn't much of a pass rush at all.
No, there wasn't a lot of opportunities. Daniel Jones, what did he attempt by the end of it? It's only 13 attempts, 8 completions, 71 yards. Windy day, wanted to beat the Bears on the ground.
Well, look, that was one of the areas going into this game where you had a team, the Giants, that could not rush the passer. And we're giving up sacks at an alarming rate. So you couldn't come into New York and be like, we're going to give up 6 sacks and we're only going to get 1. You're not going to win that football game. You should have been I actually think that this is one of the more concerning areas for this defense going forward the rest of the season. I'm struggling to see how it's going to change. And I would argue that they either they're not seeing much from Dominique Robinson and Travis Gibson at this point. But for me, Al-Quadi Muhammad's on the field too much for a guy who's not really producing and was frequently one of the people who had his eyes in the wrong place, in my opinion.
And he's supposed to be Eberflus's guy.
Yeah.
I just pulled up his game logs from True Media. Oh, just lost it. Want to hear what his production is this season?
Al-Quadi Muhammad?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Nothing.
What?
There is nothing.
There's just nothing.
I'm not lying. There is no hits, no hurries. Why does it keep doing that? Hold on. Here it is. There are... Okay, stand corrected. Sorry, it just updated.
I was going to say, there's got to be at least something.
Yes, yes, yes. It kicked in. Sorry. So, I stand corrected. He had a pressure and one hurry against the Giants. His best performance was against the Texans with four pressures, four hurries. But you're right, there's no sacks.
No. And I did have I had that reflected. He played like a, in my opinion, he played like a starter against the Texans. Other than that though, during the course of a season, you have a bunch of players that just kind of hover around zero in my grading system, which just basically means you're a reserve player who could be replaced. That's basically where he is. But he keeps and now we're four games into the season, and there's a couple areas where I'm starting to question the playing time, Johns. Okay, this is one of them. You're supposed to be a young team about development. Like, get Travis Gibson going more. Get Dominique Robinson going more. You're not getting anything from Al-Quadi Muhammad right now. I get that he's like your, you know, the coaches love him or whatever from what he did before, but you know, you need some production. By the way, Robert Quinn's not getting the job done either.
No, he finished that game with one assisted tackle and one quarterback hit, I believe.
Like, I'm okay. He had a bad matchup against Laremy Tunsil last week, who's playing, you know, some of the best left tackle in the NFL right now. I understand that, but this was a week where he should have dominated. And he didn't do much in this game either. In fact, another zero I have down. Robert Quinn in this game. And then the same thing on the offensive line. You know, I don't know why it took a Cody Whitehair injury to get Tevin Jenkins on the field more. And obviously, there's something else going on there that they don't like off the field. You know, they had the issue with the practice a couple weeks ago where they didn't like his Wednesday practice. Okay. But at some point, you got to acknowledge that he's playing better than your other interior linemen. And if you want to get your quarterback better, you play the better players in front of him.
Yeah.
Am I wrong there?
No, no, no. If there's one bright side of Cody Whitehair, I thought he's been playing. Have you thought he, what do your grades say?
I agree. I thought he was having a bounce back season. Actually playing very well. I had him up, in long-term starter category, honestly, almost up to blue chip. Granted, it's still, you know, early in the season and things tend to flatten out over the course of the season, but he was off to a great start. And then I'm trying to find where I had him.
Now, ESPN's pass block win rate metric, criticize it if you want, but that takes into account what happens within 2.5 seconds, right? They use the next-gen data that's in the shoulder pads or what have you. He's second in pass block win rate amongst guards.
That checks out for me.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That passes the eye test.
The 100% one on Sam Mustipher was a little bit more fishy.
Right. I think the context there is always the 2.5 seconds for everybody listening at home.
Okay.
That's where their data comes from. And that's, you know, ball out, all that stuff. Tevin Jenkins is no longer part of the rotation. That's what I'm getting at. In terms of like a bright side, you don't want to lose Cody Whitehair, but now Tevin Jenkins should be getting every single snap at right guard. Against the Giants, he was the Bears' best offensive lineman, not allowing a pressure, not allowing a hit. The other guys, they allowed a bunch. He was the best of the of the offensive line against the Giants by far. Eye test, stats, whatever have you. I'm sure there's certain things that he missed, some of those stunts, those dog blitzes they had up in the middle, but the numbers seem to check out for Tevin Jenkins.
He's honestly been playing. He's graded out as a long-term starter for me. Granted, he hasn't been playing, you know, full games. This is the most he's played in a game so far this season. But I'm encouraged by what I see from Tevin Jenkins on the field. So, like I said, something clearly behind the scenes has them not wanting to trust him more, but now they don't have a choice. So he's got to play. I don't know why it took an injury to make that happen, but and I would also, depending on how they view Michael Schofield, let's not forget Jatire Carter's on the 53-man roster. That tells you that they like him. They didn't move him to the practice squad or try to get him there. I just, at what point do you have to start looking at other combinations? I think every Bears fan wants to see Lucas Patrick at center. And it's not like he's dominating at guard right now. Is he better off? Is he, just forget Justin Fields for a second, is he better off playing center? Will he play better for you if he's playing center? I don't know, but I think people want to know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
But then the question is, who do you play at guard? Meanwhile, it was good news that Cody Whitehair will not be out for the year.
Matt, he didn't look good leaving the locker room, I'll tell you that. Just in terms of, he had this huge brace on his entire leg.
Yeah.
Well, stabilized that was probably the
knee. Precautionary. They had to get him home to Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, it couldn't be a comfortable flight for that big guy with your leg extended like that. But yes, doesn't sound like a trip to season-ending IR is in the cards for Cody Whitehair, if you're going to believe Matt Eberflus. And again, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he hasn't lied too much as opposed to some other coaches who lie about injuries and what have you.
Well,
like Matt Eberflus is like, I'm just not going to answer that question, which, okay, it's better than lying.
He avoids lying. He avoids lying. I think, though, if you, like, at what point does saying a guy is day-to-day for a month qualify as lying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I understand if you're going to do that with like soft tissue injuries, because those things could be hit or miss. You just saw that play out with Velus Jones, who had a setback. I think we established that in the last week that he definitely had a setback. But at least he's not saying that he has shin splints when in reality he's about to have surgery on his leg.
Right.
I'm not an offense coordinator. I'm not a defense coordinator. I'm not a special teams coordinator, but I coordinate all three.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs is the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. Because when you're looking for a job, Hogue and Johns fans, you want the best experience possible. No questions left to answer and sketchy websites to navigate around. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. And over 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Adam. That's linkedin.com/Adam to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
I'll bring up one more thing. Why'd you point at your head?
The John Fox.
Sexy.
Corey Wooten, yesterday on the Monday edition of the CHGO Bears podcast, brought up some questions about Alan Williams' play calling on defense and already questioned whether or not Matt Eberflus should take that on. And I think it is worth monitoring going forward. I've been on record that I prefer my head coaches to not have to deal with play calling duties because I think it's better overall for the football team and the game management that is needed during the game. But it has been a little concerning to me about the lack of adjustments at times or how slow it takes to adjust defensively. So I think it is worth monitoring and just point out that his defensive coordinator history goes back to the Vikings in 2012 and 2013. Other than that, like he doesn't have a ton of experience being a defensive coordinator. Which is also one way to look at that is like he needs some time to work it out, get more reps, get more games under his belt. Maybe there's some of that. I'm sure that Matt Eberflus is still heavily involved in.
Yeah. What's going on? I'm going to come out in defense of Alan Williams a little bit.
Okay.
I think what you had was Brian Daboll recognizing, oh, we got two rookies on the same side of the field.
You're going to give Daboll the credit, not Mike Kafka?
Okay, both.
I thought Kafka.
Yes. He's the one calling the plays.
Well, what I just loved about what Kafka did was like, okay, they can't stop what we're doing. Let's just keep running the same two plays.
Yes. Yeah, so they obviously ID'd something there. You had Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon on the same side of the defense, and they got beat both on those naked bootleg touchdowns. Like they weren't even close.
It was the same play.
Yes, it was. And the two rookies virtually did the same thing. And you heard Matt Eberflus say sometimes these rookies just need to have these moments. They need to experience this. Jaquan Brisker stayed with the tight end too long. It is what it is. Sometimes you got, again, in Alan Williams' defense, you got two rookies in the secondary. You have an underachieving free agent signee in Muhammad. You have your B decision at three technique defensive tackle after Larry Ogunjobi didn't get the job. You have an underperforming middle linebacker in Nicholas Morrow. You got another rookie off the edge, fifth round pick, former quarterback in Dominique Robinson. You just have what you have. You coach him up the best to your ability, really.
I don't have time to look this up, but I'm probably something I should already know too. But when Alan Williams was the defensive coordinator in Minnesota, Leslie Frazier was the head coach. And is it possible Leslie Frazier was calling defensive plays?
Well, at the very least, you have the same dynamic with Matt Eberflus.
Where he's heavily involved. It's not his show.
Yeah.
It's not like when Vic Fangio was the defense coordinator for Matt Nagy. Where he's basically got full autonomy to run the defense.
Correct.
So, I'm not there. I'm just bringing up something that Corey Wooten said. I think it's fair to question. You know, and I also think it's a great point and fair to bring up the youth on that defense. I just get concerned, John, sometimes when I see very basic things, like it shouldn't have been too hard to adjust to what the Giants were doing in that game. we're not talking about rocket science here and like a crazy offense with Patrick Mahomes out there.
I did think that because like the naked bootleg play is such like a... Forget high school football these days because high school football is so spread heavy now.
Yeah.
But like grammar school, Pop Warner football where it's... where the coach knows he can get the... all the eyes in the wrong place. You know, you run the ball a few times. Now the kids are all keying on the run, especially if you got like a good running back there. They're all keying on the big kid. They can run hard. And then you just do the naked boot because everybody's cheating on the run. Get some blocking down the field. You got touchdowns. Well, there is that feel to it. Absolutely.
And the adjustment is right there in front of you. It's what teams have done to your quarterback since week one. They have that boot covered on Justin Fields now. It's part of the problem Luke Getsy's having on offense right now. And so that's what I mean by, like, I get that there's young players out there, and that is a fair excuse slash reason. But it wasn't that complicated what the Giants were doing. It really wasn't. You know what I noticed, too, a couple times? They were getting to the line of scrimmage early enough that the headset was still on, and you could tell that, you know, Daniel Jones is at the literally at the line of scrimmage like this, getting a check.
Before it goes out, yeah.
Yeah, because they could already read the defense. It's almost like college where you check to the sideline and you get the play that you're actually going to run once they see how the defense lines up. Like, that's harder to do in the NFL, but you do have the headset system, and he was doing that. So.
Smart operation.
Smart coaching. Brian Daboll, Mike Kafka. We talked about it last week.
Yeah, what could
have
been.
The parallels between these two franchises. It'll be interesting to watch over time.
See, I understand it looks bad after this week. About the burp here. Excuse me. Coffee burp coming.
Oh, boy.
But I'm not going to get too over.
Like, no, it's been four games.
Let's not overanalyze this.
But in 2 years, I still think we'll be looking at the Giants.
Yes. The Giants. Yeah, just like we did the 49ers.
The Giants are very similar to the Bears.
Extremely. They still have to make their decision at quarterback.
Yeah.
They may have beaten the Bears with Daniel Jones, but next year, I don't think Daniel Jones is on that team.
Probably not. And you could tell the way that they were running things offensively. They don't trust him. They lost. The Giants did to the Bears what the Bears did to the Texans last week. 8 completions, 71 passing yards or whatever it is. Just run the ball down their throats the entire game. They're not that good.
Yeah. Well, the one difference is the Giants blitz the hell out of Justin Fields.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Beat him up pretty good.
Which is maybe another adjustment the Bears need. Although, you know, they did do, the Bears did do more run blitzing in that game.
With Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, they started bringing Eddie Jackson downhill. That was an old school football game. And you watch some of these formations, it's like 9-man boxes. Can you not run into a 9-man box, by the way, on 3rd and 2 twice in that game?
And then they condense things further too. Then like in one of those plays, they motion St. Brown in.
Yeah.
So now there's like feels like there's like 30 guys in the box. I think Larry Borum lost poorly in one of those 3rd down runs though.
The 3rd and 2 at the end.
Yeah, so
he actually got up to the second level and then completely whiffed. But this gets back to in-game adjustments, Johns. So, and it was another question I asked Eberflus yesterday when it came to the punting decision. You know, it's great you got the stop, but I wanted to know about the logic of thinking you were going to get the stop when you hadn't stopped the run the entire game. And so I get you go into condensed formations. You know you're bringing in more of the defense. You're going to run in some heavy boxes that way because you just have more bodies in there. And your thinking is, okay, we'll block them, right? We got a hat on a hat. We'll just block them. But were you paying attention to the game? Those interior linemen weren't playing well. And so that again, I think, raises some questions just about like, understanding what's happening in this game that you are coaching.
You're talking
right
about
now.
His decision to kick it in the final 2 minutes.
Well, I was talking about that to begin with, but what I'm talking about now is the play before that when it's 3rd and 2.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All and right. You run into a 9-man box when, yes, you think you have the numbers, but in reality, those numbers haven't been playing that well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should anybody be surprised that one, and I think there's actually a couple questionable blocks on that play, but did you really think you were going to go like block up all 9 guys in that box on that play to get 2 yards?
No, you're just hoping to ground out 2.5 yards.
And that's where things just get so conservative. Again, this goes back to a couple decisions we talked about the week before. When are you going to give your quarterback a chance?
I think the Bears missed David Montgomery a bit.
Yeah, I do
situations.
Too. I want
to put that out there as much as I just wrote an article saying how Khalil Herbert fits the Bears' offense, and I still believe that. But when Trester Ebner came in, I saw a lack of patience. Like that 2-yard loss where he tried to spring it outside when he probably should have, as Matt Eberflus would say, to use his words, you know, probably pressed the line a little bit and wait for those lanes to develop on that outside zone scheme.
I know what player you're talking about, and I would also add to that, even if you do keep it outside, I think Khalil Herbert gets 2 yards instead of losing 2 yards.
Okay, yeah. So David Montgomery was going through pregame workout. I think that's a good sign. Tough player, tough mindset. A guy who still embodies what you want to be offensively. Maybe a week or two away.
Yeah. All right, well, good stuff as we break down this loss. Appreciate all the voicemails that came in. We will be back Thursday to preview another game. Things are going to speed up here because you got the Vikings Sunday, and then bam, you're playing Washington at home next Thursday. So we're going to have 2 games coming up here real fast. The Vikings are an interesting team. We'll break down. They're 3-1. They have some holes, but we'll save all that for Thursday's preview episode. For this Bears and Vikings game, a rare early October trip to Minnesota.
Yep.
It's like the first time in 16 years or something.
And I'm not going.
Me neither.
No. Got some family stuff to take care of this weekend.
This is one of those trips I actually am going to miss because, all my family that lives up there.
Yeah, and that stadium is beautiful.
Yeah. But what are you going to do? I did not miss going to New Jersey. As what did Bob call it? What did Bob Dabrowski call it? The trash can of America? Can we be honest? When you fly into Newark and just drive with, I love New York City. That's not what we're talking about. Like, you go into New York City, everything's fine. But when you just fly into Newark and take an Uber to MetLife Stadium, just that drive past all those factories and steel and concrete, it's just like, it's gloomy.
You know what's not gloomy anymore? LaGuardia Airport.
Oh, LaGuardia is amazing.
That place is spectacular.
Was that your first time there?
Since we went there 4 years ago when all the construction was going on, like getting a cab or an Uber was painful because you had to walk into traffic.
That was a rare airport that was worse than O'Hare.
Yes, but they were working at, they kept it open while they worked on it. But now I got off the plane, I was blown away. I'm like, holy crap.
The one thing with that, did you see the fountain that comes down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done.
When I took James, we went and saw the White Sox play the Yankees in May. I had forgotten, because it's been so many years and the pandemic and all this. I had forgotten that they were even working on LaGuardia. And we landed. I got off the plane. I thought we were at the wrong airport. I was like, what the hell is this?
It blows you away.
It's they did a tremendous job. So shout out to New York.
It smells good. Think about that.
It's like the nicest airport I've ever been at.
It is.
I never would have thought that.
Just like LaGuardia, Boston Logan actually redoing the United Terminal. Moving up our airport rankings. O'Hare's got a soft spot for me because it's just so convenient, but they got some work to do.
Oh, O'Hare sucks.
Can we stop with the flat buckets of plastic that, get the dripping water out of the roof?
Right.
Can we fix that?
No, you can't fix that. You have to walk 3 miles every time your flight comes in at 10:30 at night. You're always in the last gate.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I will say this time when we landed from where our plane landed from LaGuardia, we got right off the plane and you're at that one gate on the B concourse where you walk out the jet bridge and right away is the stairs down to the baggage claim.
Oh, that's nice.
So it was pretty convenient. The seasoned travelers out there that are listening know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, but Well, you flew back Monday morning, right?
Correct.
Yeah. It's the late night flights. I swear, if you come in late, you always end up at the last freaking gate.
Yeah.
And you walk through an empty airport for what seems like 15 minutes.
It's true.
Just to get to, your car. But, all right. Follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue. At Adam Johns. I like what you did yesterday, too, with the gifts. Bears Twitter.
Yeah, we'll keep doing that.
That's good stuff.
Gotta have fun. People gotta... Football should be fun for a little bit.
I'm gonna have fun. I do think this offseason is going to be fun regardless.
Oh, it's going to be busy.
So at least we got that to look forward to. They're 2-2, by the way. They're still a 500 football team.
Like the entire NFC West.
Yes, that's true. We did this yesterday. Maybe we can do this Thursday. I started going through the schedule, though. And because you adjust and you see which teams are actually good, which teams are not, I was struggling to find 5 more wins to get to the over 6.5. I'd landed on 4.
Well, games like this against the Giants change your perception because that's a win. That's one you count to get that over.
Yeah, the Giants aren't that good. But the Giants felt the same way against the Bears, right?
It's true.
This is a game you got to win. So
speaking of gifts, you got that Spider-Man one, right? Where they're pointing at each other?
Yep.
This applies here.
They're very, very similar franchises, and the Giants got the win, so good for them. All right. We're out of here. Make sure you are reading Johnsy on The Athletic, theathletic.com/HoganJohns. You can find me at allchgo.com. Bears Things newsletter in your inbox tomorrow morning if you're signed up for it. And make sure you check out our merch at obviousshirts.com. Hoodies, winter hats, all types of things for you as the weather starts. It's been cold. What the hell's going on? We usually get some warm weather in the fall. Although today's supposed to be pretty nice.
Today's supposed to be nice. Friday's supposed to be cold, but next week looks in the 70s.
Yeah, Friday night looks like a cold game.
Yes.
We got Marmy and Academy Friday night.
Rebound.
Got to get a win, Johnsy. Got to get a win. All right, we're out of here. We'll talk to you Thursday.
See ya.
Jesse, you freaking moron!